In our continuing series, we remember football coach John Beam, who was tragically and senselessly shot and killed recently. He was more than a coach of Community College national champion Lanny College in Oakland, California. He was a life mentor to thousands of kids in the Bay Area and a community icon. His team was the focus of Netflix's Last Chance U docuseries about small-time college athletics and programs that give kids a second chance, many of those kids coming from hard family, economic, and financial situations. John Beam was a special person in so many ways. I started our conversation by asking Beam if he had watched any of the other Netflix Last Chance U episodes.
Yeah, well, I actually did see them, and... Yeah, I think you always, because you open yourself up, right? You bare your soul, not only to you as a coach, your family, but your team, the young men that are part of your family, you know, they get to see us. But at the same time, both of those schools had, when they came up with the title Last Chance U, most of those players were bounce-back kids that had been to the D1 level and fallen through the cracks somehow, right? Well, at Laney, we don't think of as last chance. We think it's best chance or first chance. These are local kids, right? The other places had scholarships, dorms, and housing. I mean, food. We don't, right? So I wanted to see, let people see what it's like at a truly a community college where kids have to drive into to practice or ride BART and then go to work afterwards, right, to pursue their dreams for their best chance of a future.
You know, Laney is an urban environment school, Oakland, California. Tell me a little bit about Oakland, the school, your football program, and the players you have.
Well, I think Oakland reflects the world, right? I mean, there was a study that said that Oakland was the most diverse city in the country, and I truly believe it. And Laney's campus shows that exactly. And our football team does as well, right? But like most of it, you know, 90% of our players are on, you know, financial aid, FAFSA, Pell Grants, right? Most of our players come from some type of not a broken home, but a home that's not traditional. How about that, right? But the one thing that's common, so we might have a player that comes from affluent from the 680 corridor and someone that comes from a project, right? But they have a commonality, right, which is to thrive, to get a scholarship, to do something better, right? And that's the beauty of it, right? The cohesiveness that occurs once you make them into a team and a family, the bonding that occurs. These are lifetime bonds.
John, you've been coaching football for more than 40 years. You've been in the Bay Area doing that for a particular long time. And I'm just wondering, do you see yourself as much as a coach, but more so as a teacher?
Absolutely. I'm hired as a teacher, right? And but I also see myself as a partner, right? That I partner with the community. I partner with the families. I partner with the young men and women that I coach. Right, and we come up with common goals to help them achieve those things, right? So I want to be a booster. I want to be a cheerleader for them, right, and help them reach those goals.
I know it's college football, and, you know, it's big time no matter whether it's at the Division I level or at your level as well. But I'm just wondering, do some of these players look to you as a father figure because they may be coming from a broken home?
Yeah, I think that in one of the episodes, Kevin Parker, you know, points out that, you know, he didn't have a father and he didn't know how to navigate that. And so he looked at myself, my relationship with my wife, my daughters, and saw how a more traditional family looks. And now I see him, his wife, his kids, you know what I mean? So he's able to emulate that, right? And so we can be role models in that sense. And then someone has to give structure, right? And so I guess I'm the guy that gives the structure, you know, for these folks, young men that, you know, that, hey, be here at this time, go to here, right? Instead of kind of haphazardly, which many of them have been doing throughout their lives, right?
What I find interesting is you have a wife, you have a couple of daughters and everything, and I'm sure you have family members that will watch this series. And I think that they know football is a business, but when they hear a coach out on the field using four-letter words and everything, were you ever concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, those are things that, you know, I've always tried to do a better job of, and I think that's something I reflect on daily. I've actually had different times, like, had a bet, well, I'm not going to drop a F-bomb or, you know. But one of the things I think that's interesting is that when I started teaching in Oakland, I taught at the junior highs at Frick and Havens Court. I never cussed there, right? In high school, very little, you know, not as much, and then college. So it seems to be I've been, if this is an excuse, kind of like being age-appropriate, so to speak, right? and it's a community language. Not that it's right or wrong, but it's a community language, you know, vernacular that has been used. So, yeah, it's something I definitely need to keep working on, though.
Tell me a little bit about the difference in coaching kids at this level that come the way they come to your college as compared to maybe a Division I powerhouse football school.
Well, I think number one is that many of these young men, no one has ever believed in them. So for me, I got to show that I can believe in them. Two, many of them haven't had weight training, right, where they know how to build their bodies up. And so we need to work on that and teach them that. And then just the basic fundamentals. As high school football has changed over the years, right, it used to be made up of, you know, teachers that coach and many guys on the staff. Now there's, you know, walk-on coaches, part-time coaches that do the best that they can but maybe aren't able to put in the time to learn the intricacies of technique and stuff. We're not talking about X's and O's. I'm just talking about basic fundamentals, right? And so we have to put that together. And then the biggest thing, I think, for us at the JC or community college level is we have such a quick turnover, right? Our kids leave after a year and a half. So you have them for, you know, you get them in the summer when they graduate from high school, you get them that fall, you get them a spring, and then you get them another fall, and then they leave. So you don't have the time to develop them like at a four-year school or even at a high school, right? High school has freshman, JV, varsity, right? And so we don't have that. So we have to accelerate the learning process as best that we can.
You had to tell me how a coach runs a guy that's 5'8", 37 times with the football as a running back.
Well, his name is C.J. Anderson, right? And he could carry the load. I think those are things that, you know, those are old school. Remember, I grew up watching, you know, John Robinson at USC, right? Student body right, student body left. So I think it's kind of funny. I mean, Frank Summers carried the ball one time, 47 times in a game for me when we won, and he was a fifth-round draft pick as well. But when you have a bell cow running back, you know, you give it to him, just like if you do a quarterback that can throw or a, you know, pass-rushing guy, you just got to kind of live on that, you know. That could be the difference.
Every story has some lighter moments, and as you look back on that championship season and other years too, what are the things that make you laugh when you reflect on it?
Well, I think it's just, you know, the when you see the emotions, right, you see young men that are, quote, hard, right? They come from really hard things. And then you see them laughing and, you know, just the exuberance that they put out. Like, we took them bowling and just seeing these guys, some had bowled before, some have never, just trying to bowl, right, and just having so much fun, but so competitive that they're going to try to make it happen. Or we went to the pool at Laney and went off the high dive. Who could go off the high dive? Oh, my gosh, that was so hilarious watching them. And then we did played a water polo match against the girls' water polo team, right, the women's water polo team. So we put our guys on noodles, you know, because a lot of them couldn't swim, obviously, and or not swim well enough to play water polo against a team, college team, right? And just to see them. But the thing that struck me was that no matter how uncomfortable, how different the situation was, they were still competitors, and they would not back down, right? They still wanted to try to win, and it's just hilarious watching them flop around, right? So I think those are the moments that no matter what, there's a giant kid inside of us all that wants
one to. One of the things I respect and admire about you, John, is the fact you've been committed to this football program and football in general for more than 40 years. And you had a quote that jumped out at me. You said, "This is my community. Isn't it my job to help this community be a part of it and help it grow?" And that says an awful lot. You had the chance to go to Division I schools, but you didn't take it. Why?
Well, I mean, early in my career, I thought about it like if you go to a Division I school, does that validate you as a coach, right? Like, okay, so I got the interview, I got offered the job, so I knew I could had the X's and O's ability, but what do you get at the end of the day, right? You help a kid move on and you don't see them, right? But now in Oakland, I see them when we're done, right? So you work with them, you help them become better human beings, you help them put them on a path, and then you see them later, you know, as businessmen or policemen or firemen or plumbers or probation officers. You know what I mean? So you get to see them again. Being a part of the fabric of a community, that in itself is an unbelievable reward, right? And you make a difference, right? That's all that you want to do. You want to make a difference in someone's life or a city's life. I think it's important.
We only have 30 seconds left, but when you think back on your career and your life and everything, is there a moment that's kind of engraved in your mind forever, John?
I think when we won the state championship last year, one of the things that stuck out when I started running crazily when the game got over, and then I jumped on Derek Gardner, one of my coaches who was a running back and DB for me at Skyline, and hugged him up this thing. And then I ran, decided I need to run up to the stands to find my wife, my daughters, my sister, because they've all been part of my family through this journey that allowed me to do this. So that was one of the things I reflect on that was like, that's winning was great, but sharing it with my family was even better.
John Beam, not only a successful football coach, but a man who left his mark on kids, those who played for him and others, as well as his community. John Beam, gone but never ever forgotten on Sports Byline.